If you have your Bibles, we will be starting in the 22nd Psalm. The 22nd Psalm, in verse 1. And we'll probably read, I think we'll read the first 24 verses, so a little bit of a longer reading lesson as we read through the 22nd Psalm. And this is a Psalm of David, as the header tells us, so we know that this is David that is singing this song, if you will. It was something that was musical. It was to the chief musician. And so I often wonder what it would have been like to have heard these in the original language, as they would have been played on an instrument of some kind, as they would have probably had a beat or a melody of some kind to them. And we get the language in error to the most part. We get the interpretation, the translation. But I'm sure we probably lose some of the feeling of it, or the heart of it, if you will. Just as if you were to take some of our hymns and translate them into another language and just have someone read them. It probably would not have the same effect or the same. It would just be different. And so I often wonder what it would be like to hear David as he was. David was, from what we understand, a skilled musician. He was able to play on instruments. I'm guessing he sang. And so it would be interesting just to be able to hear how he was crying out to God, how he is pouring out his heart to God in some of these psalms. In the 22nd Psalm, and as we read it, you'll probably notice a lot of references and a lot of prophecies, if you will, a lot of verses that are referenced back to when we get to the New Testament. My Bible has 9 different verses marked as prophecies for Jesus Christ. Some of them are I guess a little bit looser than others. Some of them are very direct. And I do want to talk about that, and we will try to reference some of those things. But I don't want us to lose the fact that this was also a Psalm of David. And so the feelings, the things that were experienced, while I believe David was inspired, I believe that the words that were used here, I don't know if David had a clear understanding that the things that were being spoken or sung in this psalm were going to be spoken by the Messiah to come, or as it starts off, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's probably pretty familiar words, as we know that Jesus Christ repeated those words when he was on the cross. And I don't know if David had that foresight, but we know that God certainly did, as he connected these things together. But David also had these emotions, these feelings, these desires, the pain, the questioning, the triumph. And so I want us to make sure that as we go through this, let's think about Jesus, and we'll try to talk about him, but let's also take it into the context of David and anyone that is a child of God, anyone that has a relationship with God, and how David relates to his Father in heaven. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell or count all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. And we'll stop our reading in the 24th verse there. And there's a lot in those 24 verses, and we'll try to summarize some of them and maybe not go into too much depth on any one specific point. But I do want to focus in on, if there's kind of a thought or a title, if you will, it would come from the very last portion of the last verse that we read, where it says, "But when he cried unto him, he heard." And so the thought, if I can bring this out in a few different layers or a few different ways, if you will, is God heard and God hears. God heard and God hears. And I want to look at it, I guess maybe three different ways. And the first way, as I mentioned before, we understand that there is a lot of references to Christ here. I don't know if I haven't counted. I didn't do the research, but it's possible that there are more references, direct references, here in the 22nd Psalm than just about any other one chapter in the Old Testament in the Bible. I don't know that for a fact, but I know that just the quantity, the number of times that either Jesus spoke these words or it's a direct prophecy that was fulfilled in the life of Christ, there's a lot of them. And so we'll talk about that. But before we get into that, I just want us to look at David, to look at King David. And as I said, this is something that he was experiencing. I don't believe that he was completely just talking about Jesus Christ that was going to be coming after the fact. I believe he was actually pouring his heart out to God. Now, I don't know, some of these things may not have been literal. When he says, "They pierced my hands and my feet," that may have been more of a metaphor for him. It may have been part of the song that he was singing. I don't know if it was literal for him as it was for Jesus. But I do believe when he starts this psalm, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, in the night season, and am not silent. So he starts the song, he starts this, we'll call it a prayer, if you will, but he starts this in despair. He starts this in crying out to God, and he starts, if you will, by saying, "But thou hearest not," which is in... it's contrary. It is opposite from what he says in verse 24. So he starts from a place of despair, a place of longing, a place of crying out to God, but feeling as if he has been forsaken, feeling that he is crying out to God, but that God is far from helping him. That he's crying out in the daytime, but that God is not hearing. And so David is starting from a place of questioning, if you will, of wondering, where is God? And we don't know exactly what point in David's life that this song was written, or what he was thinking about, or what moment he was going through. It could have very well been a time when he was being pursued by King Saul. And in that situation, David had been honorable. David had not done anything against King Saul. King Saul was the king over Israel, their first established king. When after the prophets, and they said they wanted a king, and they got Saul. He was not a good king. And Saul tried to kill David many different times, though David did nothing wrong. And so there are Psalms where it tells us that that was the situation, and he was crying out because his enemies, being Saul and those that were trying to find him and to kill him. And so he was crying out for deliverance from his enemies. So perhaps it was written then, or perhaps it was written when his son Absalom had taken over the kingdom from him, if you will. Absalom was his son, and Absalom had rebelled and had revolted against his father as king. David had fled because Absalom was going to kill him. And so Absalom had seized the throne of Israel and was sitting on the throne and was acting as the king of Israel while David had fled with his supporters. And there are other psalms that David wrote where he was crying out in how he was brokenhearted here. Perhaps this was after David's son had died. David had committed a grievous sin. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And God had told him that his son would die. And David had cried out to God in that moment, in that time, that God might spare the child. And God did not. And he made it clear to David that that was a consequence of his sin. So there's a lot of... I'm bringing out these situations. I don't know. It may have been one of those. It may have been something completely different. But I want to try to get us into the life of David a little bit to think about a man crying out to God, a person, an individual person crying out to God, asking him to hear him, asking him to help him, asking for strength, asking for comfort. And that, I guess maybe that initial feeling of despair that God is not listening, that God is not hearing, that God is forsaking. And I hope that maybe as we bring this down to an individual level, as we think about David and the events in his life, that maybe this will resonate, maybe this will mean something to you as an individual that has needs, that goes through difficult times, and that cries out to God. And there may be times where it feels like God is not hearing. God is not answering. God is not helping. God is forsaking. I would expect that many people that go through this journey of the Christian life, of being a child of God, experiences times like David describes here where we feel forsaken. We feel disconnected. We feel that God does not hear. He goes on and he talks about his enemies. He says the fathers, in verse 4 he said, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and they were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. So David reflects back and Moses a lot of times would talk with God and he would remind God about things that he had said and things that he had done. And so David here, as he's crying out to God, he goes back to God and he says, our fathers cried out to you, dear Lord. God, our fathers, they trusted in thee and thou didst deliver them. So David thinks back to times where others had trusted in God, they had cried out to God, and God had heard them. God had rescued them. He had delivered them. Their cries to God were not in vain. And then he goes on to say, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people." And he talks about how he's laughed and mocked and scorned by his enemies. David was feeling pretty low. There was a humility here. He says, "But I am a worm and no man." He was the king of Israel. He was arguably, well, I would venture to say, the most powerful man in the world at that time. As God was with Israel while David was king, and they were conquering their enemies, and God was with them, and David was a very powerful man. But in this moment, he forsook all of that. He wasn't thinking about himself as King David on the throne of Israel, the man after God's own heart, the man that God had firmly established as His chosen, His anointed one, His chosen king for His people. He was a worm. He was nothing before God. He had no power of his own before his enemies, and so he was crying out to the one where his power came from. He talked about how his enemies, how they hated him and what they did to him. And then in verse 14, he says, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death." I am poured out like water. David here is describing just complete defeat, if you will. Not defeat from his enemies, but just a recognition of just his helplessness. That his strength was gone. He had poured himself out like water. He had emptied himself of all strength, of all supplication, if you will, as he was asking and crying out to God to supply his need. His strength was dried up. He felt like he had nothing left, and he had just emptied himself out before God. Again, I hope that we can relate to some of this, that you can think back to these times in life where you have just poured yourself out like water, where it felt like you had no strength within you remaining. Your strength was dried up, and your bones are out of joint, your heart is like wax. Just this coming to God in brokenness, coming to God in contrition, in conviction, and pouring your heart out to God, giving Him everything until there's nothing left. And he goes on and he talks about his enemies. There's some references here that we'll talk about here in a few minutes to Jesus Christ. And in verse 22, we're about halfway, a little over halfway through the song, and it changes direction, if you will. It changes attitude. David, for the first 21 verses, is pouring out his heart to God. He has started with saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He has said, "But thou hearest not." He's cried out to God. He's a worm and not a man. He's poured himself like water. He's emptied himself. His strength is dried up. And that is his heart, his attitude, in his cry out to God in the first 21 verses. And then in verse 22 he says, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." So his cry for help, his plea for deliverance, as he has poured himself out, he then turns his attention, his heart turns to praise, to the praise of God. "Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him, and fear Him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. So David, as he changes, and we don't know the situation, we don't know if David recognized that his prayer had been answered or would be answered, or if he just recognized that though he had poured his heart out to God, that it was also his job, it was his obligation, his honor to be able to praise the God that had delivered their fathers, to praise the one that he knew, that he had this connection with. It says that David was a man after God's own heart. David had a relationship with God. And here he was changing it to praise God, to worship Him, to glorify Him. And then he recognizes that it says, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. That the afflicted, those that are downtrodden, those that are afflicted, those that are hurting, those that are in need, that when they cry out to God, that he does not despise them, he doesn't abhor them, and he says, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. So David, though he started in verse 2, he said, but thou hearest not. I think we have to be careful. We can't take everything that is written as a literal thing, that David, as he is crying out his heart to God, that God literally was not hearing what was being spoken. God heard. God heard. The answer maybe didn't come as quickly as David wanted. Maybe the answer wasn't what David wanted, as the case was with his son that died. There were times where David felt forsaken and neglected, but God heard. And David made clear, as he cries out here, that God does not despise the afflicted, that he has not turned his face from him, and he gives a consistent truth that we find throughout the scriptures and throughout our own experiences and throughout the experience of a child of God, throughout the experience of man to his God, but when he cried unto him, he heard. Hopefully all of us can reflect back on the experience of crying out to God and he heard. See, I believe David, I want to think about this in the context of David, because I want us to be able to look to ourselves and our own prayers, our own cry, our own needs out to God. And to recognize, I guess I talked, some sermon I preached about a blueprint from the early church, and how there was kind of a blueprint of how the early church conducted themselves and what they did. And David, if you will, is giving a bit of a blueprint. He's given a template, something for that we can follow, that we can relate to in terms of how we interact with God. And that interaction is often through contrition. It's often through burdens and despair and heartache and grief. And we cry out to God. It's through humility and recognizing our weakness and recognizing our limitations, as we cry out to the one that can meet our needs when we cannot. It's that pouring out of ourselves like water and giving ourselves to God. And in that sweet peace, that sweet recognition, that triumph of victory in knowing that God has heard. And God hears. This was not something just for David. This applies for us today. If you're lost and separated from Him, recognize the fact that just as David poured himself out to God, he was broken, he was in despair, he had nothing left, If you come to God that way, if you come and empty yourself out to Him, He hears. He hears. If you've been saved by the grace of God, it still applies. You can come to Him broken and contrite in spirit, in despair and burdened down, and cry out to God in humility. Give yourself to God, and then you can sing His praises. Praise be to God. He hears. He hears our prayers. As we move on and we do start to layer, because there's layers of this, and as we look at the layer of David and his plea to God, and then we add in the layer of the prophecies of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ, that we see fulfilled here. Even starting with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The words spoken by Jesus as He's pouring out His life. He's pouring out Himself before God. He says, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, they shook their heads just as they shook their heads here. They laughed. They mocked. They said, if you're really the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing He delighted in him. As Jesus was on that cross, they, as they were shaking their heads, they mocked Him. They said, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. And He didn't come down from the cross. And so they laughed and they shook their heads and they said, He saved others. Himself He cannot save. They mocked and they ridiculed. And they really believed it, some of them, that He actually, they thought He was in a helpless state, that He did not have the power to be able to save Himself from the situation He was in. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Jesus, after He had been crucified, He had resurrected from the grave, and He had shown Himself to some of His disciples, and one of His disciples, Thomas, didn't believe, and he wanted to be able to see Jesus and to touch Him. And Jesus said, see, here are the scars, the nail scars in my hands and in my feet where He had been crucified. They had driven the nails in. They had pierced Him in His hands and His feet to hang Him up on the cross at Calvary. He says, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. I don't know that the Scriptures tell us directly that you could count all the bones of Jesus, but as they had whipped Him and whipped Him and whipped Him, and the skin had been torn, the muscle had been torn, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if all His, and how He was malnourished, He had lost His strength. I wouldn't be surprised in the least of all of His bones that you could have just counted them, His ribs and the things that He had. The just His physical nature, how beaten and bruised and how emptied He really was. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture, which was fulfilled by the soldiers at the foot of the cross. They parted some of His garments, but He had a coat that had no seams on it, and they didn't want to tear it And so they cast lots for it instead, fulfilling the prophecy. Jesus, we've talked about it before, as he was on the cross, and he said the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we recognize that, God had to forsake his son because Jesus was taking the penalty for our sins. That we should be the ones that would be forsaken forever from God. And that Jesus took those sins upon him. And though he was righteous, yet, he took those sins upon him. He took the shame. He took the guilt. And he was forsaken by his Father. But make no mistake, God heard. God heard. He saw everything that was going on. We can say that he turned his face, if you will. We can use that metaphor that he turned his face from Jesus. But he saw, he knew exactly what was happening on the cross at Calvary. He saw the soldiers that were parting his raiments and casting lots. He saw when those hands and the feet of his son were nailed to that cross. He saw when they mocked him and they ridiculed him. He saw when they cried out and saying, take yourself, get yourself off the cross, save yourself. And then saying he saved others, himself he cannot save. God saw, he heard it all. When Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God did not answer the prayer. God did not come down and send the angels to remove him from the cross. But he heard. And you know what he heard? He heard the cry of his son, his perfect son, the Lamb that was being slain for the sin of the world. He heard everything he needed to hear for our debt to be paid. God was not absent from this event. He heard. He heard the cry of his son. And it's hard to imagine the Creator of the universe, a God that is omniscient, that is all-knowing, that is all-powerful, that is omnipresent, that is ever-present and everywhere. It's hard to imagine that this God feels pain. But the Bible teaches us he does. And I believe that there was pain in what he heard as he was pouring out his wrath on his son. He heard. The last point I'll make quickly before we close is, as I was thinking about this and thinking about the references to our Savior Jesus Christ and how so many of the scriptures here were fulfilled as we've described some of those events that took place. David said, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted in thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. There had been people praying for a long time for deliverance. God's people had been crying out to Him for a Messiah, for a king. They had been crying out for someone that would rescue them, that would deliver them. And David said that Thou didst deliver them. David was looking at the fathers, at those that had come before him, that had cried out to him, and he had given them an immediate deliverer, if you will. He had rescued them through the judges. He had rescued them through Moses. The Bible says that God, as He was speaking with Moses, He said, "The cry of My people has come before Me, and I've heard." The people, they were in Egypt, they were in slavery, they were in bondage, and they were crying out to God for deliverance. And He told Moses, "The cry of My people has come up before Me. I have heard the cry of My people." And you know what? God heard the cry of His people. They needed a deliverer, and He heard. And He provided the answer. I don't know how much David knew when he wrote this psalm. I know he was inspired by the Spirit of God, but I don't know how much foreknowledge he had. But as he was talking about the fact that God heard his fathers and that God rescued those that were in need, that the cries had come before God and he had heard, I don't know how much he knew, and yet what he was singing about time and time and time again was referencing our Savior Jesus Christ, who was the answer to those prayers. And He is the answer to our prayers today. God heard, and God still hears. Praise be to God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He endured so much. He was forsaken. The psalm, it starts in despair and it ends in praise and victory. Jesus was in despair, if you will, in the Garden of Gethsemane when He was sweating those drops of blood. On the cross, as He was crying out those words, referencing back to the 22nd Psalm, there was anguish and there was despair for our Savior. But oh, did it end in victory? Did it end in worship and praise to God? For He has heard and He has delivered His people from their enemies. I would invite anyone, this altar is always open, to come and to cry out to God. Pour yourself out like water. Cry out. And then, when you truly have done that, when you have truly poured yourself out, you can trust and know that it's a God who hears. And then you can sing the praises of a God who answers prayers.